would you please open with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. All right, now if you've been here for the last few weeks, we've actually been doing a study on the Holy Spirit. This is actually the fourth week, and the final week, we'll be talking about the works and the person of the Holy Spirit. If you were here for the very first week, we talked about the Holy Spirit as a person, what he is, who he is, and how the Holy Spirit, because we are believers in Christ, we have the ability to have daily fellowship with him, that he is a promise of God, one that cannot be taken away, that is personal and permanent. If you are a believer here this morning, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and that can never change. God has promised that he is yours forever. So it's great to know that you have a God who dwells within you. And the second week, we looked at the works of the Holy Spirit, what he's doing when he's inside of you, the work of conviction. He convicts the world of its sin, the work of taking believers who are imperfect and making them more perfect, of building them towards righteousness. And in the end, the final work of the Holy Spirit will be the final judgment of each individual. And if you were here this last week, we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, a passage which we were actually very familiar with this last week on our missions trip. It was a heavy focus on the idea that we are the body of Christ, each one of us created uniquely, given specific gifts, all working in harmony, working together, all for the betterment of the kingdom of God, for God's glory. That is our ultimate goal. We are trying to seek for the glory of God, not for the glory of ourselves, not for the glory of anybody else, but our creator and our sustainer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit is working in each and every one of us, has equipped each and every one of us with special skills, talents. We don't have gills, people. Please don't go home and try and... That would not be good. Okay, sorry. We each have skills, something that God has given us for service in his kingdom. Now, those three weeks have been a lot of head knowledge. You understand more about who the Holy Spirit is. My encouragement for you today, my challenge for you today, is going to be putting that into practice, taking that head knowledge and understanding how we're supposed to respond to the Holy Spirit as a result. Now, if you're in our church and you were in a Connect group, you might have done a book that we studied just last year called Love Does by a guy named Bob Goff. It's a book that I really enjoy. I mean, I picked the book, so it's a great book. But the thing I like a lot about this book, it's not very high. Like, there's some books you get into and you read like two or three pages and you're kind of like, I didn't get anything out of that. I got to read it again because I couldn't quite understand what the author was saying. This is not that book. The book is very much low and right on key. The focus being throughout the entire book that love is an action. We are called to be loving others through our actions. And one of my favorite chapters in the book, he describes the relationship a believer has with God. And he says that sadly, far too often, believers' relationships are that of stalkers. We stalk God. We're not actually in relationship with him. We watch him from a distance, never drawing close. We learn about who God is, but never allow him to impact our actions. It's as if we're watching him from a bush and he doesn't know it. That's how a lot of people see the relationship with God. They don't try to get an intimate relationship, a personal relationship. They're seeking to have this relationship of understanding, but not a connection. So you and I are called to be connected with God. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We're not stalkers of God. We're in relationship with God. So as a result from that, we're going to be in the book of, as I said, Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to be reading verse 5. To begin, it says this, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understandings. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." The first thing I want to draw your attention to in verse 5 is that it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. In any relationship, trust is fundamental. Trust is key. If you lose trust, you lose the relationship. My parents taught me that from a young age. I hope they taught you the same thing. It's very, very easy to lose trust with somebody. You let them down, you lie to them, and they stop trusting you. See, as human beings, from person to person, it's so easy to break a relationship because we're imperfect. But the beautiful part is about our relationship with God, trusting in God, is that when you place your trust in him, he is perfect. He does not fail. By placing your trust in God, you are able to grow in relationship with him, a relationship that he will not break, because he cannot be broken. He is a perfect being. So, First and foremost, divine guidance here, responding, being led by the Spirit is a matter of faith, a matter of trust. We read in Romans 1:17, it says this, "For in it, it being the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." This is one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible because it has a great understanding. When you, before you knew Christ, you were an unbeliever, you were unsaved. You didn't have faith. It wouldn't make sense for an unbeliever to put faith in God they don't believe in. But when somebody shared with you the gospel message, the beautiful message that is that you are a sinner, but God loves you anyways, that even in your brokenness, God died for you. When you heard that message and you believed and you put your faith, your trust in God, that's when your relationship with God started. You had faith. But what I really like about this verse right here, it says that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, for faith, or to faith, or through faith. So we begin in faith, but we live our lives in faith. As believers, we are called to have faith, continuous faith in God. It's not okay, God saved me, I'm converted, I'm done. It's okay, God can save me, I'm converted, now it begins. Now my faith journey actually begins. So the word trust here is the word batak. It's a verb, it's an action, an imperative, it's an urging. It's a bold urging. It requires confidence in the Lord. And the Bible is full of stories of guys who had trust just like this. You have the story in Genesis of Abraham when he leaves his family. He picks up and moves to a land that was not his own, away from his family, all by himself, trusting that the God who called him there would be with him, would equip him. You have the story of a guy named David who fights a giant. Now, I spent a lot of time this last week with youth. A lot of time. A lot of time. It was a great week, but I spent a lot of time with some guys, and there was a bunch of great guys. We had guys from our church and guys from other churches, and it was great meeting them and growing your relationships with them. But some of these guys, I can picture a bunch of them. There were some of the guys, a couple of them, who were like bigger guys. I mean, you can tell they were bigger guys. And then you had other guys who were skinnier, who were not quite puberty yet, but getting there. And then I think of David. In this story, when David fights Goliath, he's not a big guy himself. He's a young man. David here, Goliath here, a giant, versus David, a child. But the faith that David showed, the trust that he had in his God, do you have that kind of trust? A trust that says, whatever I face, God, if you're calling me there, you'll equip me, that you'll be there no matter what happens in my life? There was a guy in the New Testament with faith like that, a guy named Paul. In Acts 26, the youth group actually went through this a couple weeks ago. Acts 26, Paul's in front of a man named Agrippa. He's a king. And before King Agrippa, he shares his testimony of who he was before Christ, how he met Christ, and what happened as a result. But what's fascinating about that text is who Agrippa was and who his family was. His family were known to kill people they disagreed with. The great-grandfather was the guy who attempted to kill Jesus as a child. His grandfather was the guy who had John the Baptist put to death. His father killed James, the brother of John. So here you have Paul standing before a man whose family is known to kill believers, known to kill people who follow after God, and boldly and trusting in God says, you know what? Here is the gospel message. I'm giving it to you. Now, at the end of the text, Agrippa isn't converted, doesn't believe. But that's not Paul's responsibility. He shared it boldly. He's trusted in God through faith. Do you trust in God through faith? See, the first step in responding to the Holy Spirit is trusting, is believing that God is who he says he is, that he is there with you no matter what. The next thing I want you to focus on here continues in verse 5. After it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, it says, and do not lean on your own understandings. If you would, please, for a second, just take a second and look around. Check out our sanctuary. Look at the person next to you. Just look around for a second. We have beautiful stained glass windows on the sides here right above me. We have our beautiful design that talks about our logo. I'm standing up front. I'm sorry about that. But look around. All right, now take a second and close your eyes. This room should be darker to you now. You see less. You don't see the stained glass windows. You don't see the beautiful wood. Now imagine for with me, if you would, that you lose the sense of smell. You can't smell anything in this room. The sense of taste is no longer there. You can't taste anything. That you're sitting there and you lose the feeling of the pew on your back, the cushion under your legs. And lastly, my voice slowly fades away. And you're sitting there. You can see nothing, hear nothing, smell, taste, touch, nothing. See, everything that we have in this world, we have learned through our senses. You can open your eyes now. Everything we have in this world, we have learned through our senses, through one of those five senses. So when it says here not to trust those, it's so difficult. It's difficult to imagine not trusting in those senses, to trust in the Lord as opposed to trusting in yourself, to not lean on your own understanding. We understand things based on our experiences, but the beautiful thing is the things of God are not the things of this world. We cannot learn the things of God by using our senses. They are divinely revealed. 1 Corinthians 2 puts it this way, that the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. In order to understand the plans of God and respond to the call of the Holy Spirit on your life, we must first recognize the fact that they are divinely revealed. We have to be teachable. We have to be able to be taught by the Holy Spirit, be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, this word lean here, it means literally to use a crutch, to lean on with your weight for support. Now, when I was in high school, I was definitely not as smart as I am right now. I did things in high school that probably I should not have done. One particular story I'll tell you right now is a good story. I was visiting some friends in Delaware. So I was in Delaware visiting some friends with my brothers. My brother was able to drive us, so we went there together. And we at the friend's house, and he had a trampoline. And so being four teenage guys, we're like, okay, we're jumping on the trampoline a little bit. Having a lot of fun. And then we look over on the side of his house and we recognize the basketball hoops. And so we go, oh, this is going to be great. And we pull the basketball hoops in. And we're playing basketball on the trampolines. Now we are four 16, 17, 18-year-old guys trying to play basketball on a trampoline. You can imagine this doesn't end well. So I'm jumping on the trampoline, go up, come down awkwardly, and break my leg. I'm going to cast for months. All right? So here I am walking on this cast. And without a crutch, I was literally unable to walk. I had to put my weight, I had to lean on this crutch in order to be supported. Some of you might understand what I'm talking about, leaning on a crutch. Some of you who use a walker or crutches to get around yourself. See, we use things sometimes that we need in order to get around, but this says here not to lean on your own understanding. We're not called to trust in ourselves, we're called to trust in God. We're called to lean on God. Do you put your weight on God? Is he bearing you up, or are you trying to stand on your own? When you're responding to the Holy Spirit, you're not called to do it by yourself. You're called to trust, to lean, to put your weight on God because he can carry you. Now, this idea seems foreign to us, especially with the understanding that we have our own personal aspirations, our own desires, our own wants, our own needs. Luke 9:23 says this, and he said to all, this is Jesus, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. See, as a result of denying ourselves, on not trusting in our own understanding, we're able to learn the spiritual things of God. So in order to respond to God, to his Holy Spirit, we must first step out in trust, in faith, boldly believing that where God is calling us, he's equipping us. We also have to be teachable, recognizing that we cannot lean on our own understanding, but trusting in the will of the Father. Next, we have to acknowledge God and be thankful to him in all of our ways. Verse 6 said this, in all your ways, acknowledge him. The word acknowledge here means to know. Now, we learned a few things from this small set of words. First off, it says here, in all of your ways, this idea in all of your ways means in all of your goings. In all of your doings, in everything that is happening, acknowledge him. This implies the consideration of whether or not I am going in a way to honor God. We need to be seeking to honor God. In everything that we do, we're called to bring glory to God. Now, this last week was an amazing week with the youth group. Being out at Easton, it was awesome because we all had the exact same mindset, the same desire. We all wanted to bring glory to God. We weren't seeking our own glory, our own desires, our own wants. We had put that aside and we're solely leaning on God for his strength. Seeking to show these kids in Easton, some of these kids who, they had just terrible stories. There was a story we overheard about a kid who was talking with another kid, and the kid was like, oh yeah, I don't have a dad. And the other one's like, oh yeah, my dad's in jail too. And they just connected on this point, that they both had fathers who were in jail. How is that something kids are connecting on? That's sad. But see, while we were in Easton, we were able to go to these kids and say, hey, you might not have parents right now. Your dad might not be available, but here we are. We're doing our best. We want to show you the love of Jesus. We all had that exact same mindset the entire week to show love. That was our mission, to show the love of Jesus to everybody that we met that week. And I want to say it was easy. It was easier to do it there than in my normal life. Because in my normal life, the mundanity of my life creeps in. The fact that I wake up about the same time, I eat the same breakfast, I come to the same job, I go home to the same kids, not different kids, the same kids. I do the same things nearly every single week, and I allow the mundanity of my life to keep me from fully loving others. Don't do that. Seek to love others. And I'm not just saying, whether some of you out there who are saying, that's not my life at all right now. My life is anything but boring. I have this incredible difficulty I'm going through. I'm battling cancer right now. My life is not easy. My life's not simple. There was a guy, and I'm going to try not to cry. This caught me off guard first service. When I practiced this, I didn't cry. But I was weeping first service when I said this stuff. There was a guy who was one of the leaders there. His name was Mike. And Mike helped to found the organization that we were working through almost 10 years ago now. And this was probably Mike's last week working there. And it wasn't from Mike's lack of desire to be with the kids. He loves Easton. He loves their kids. But he has colon cancer. Mike missed the second half of the week because he got sick and couldn't be there. And it was crushing. Like, here's a guy who I didn't know him before this week. I met him. And he's a guy you can tell has a fire for the Lord, a passion for God, who wants to show love to everybody that he meets. And he's going through this awful cancer treatment just to stay alive. But the wonderful thing about Mike, what I like most about Mike and Mike's story, is that he didn't at any point say, woe is me. Throughout everything that he did, everything that was going on that week was focused on the kids. Was focused on others, was focused on showing the love of Jesus, acknowledging who God was and what God had done in his life. He was able to look at this camp and recognize the kids who have been coming out for years and to see them grow. Do you have people in your life who you're witnessing to? Have you gone through something in your life that God has led you through? Can you look back and acknowledge with thankfulness to God that, you know what, during that difficult time, it was rough, but God, you were always there for me. God, you love me. See, the evidence of trust in God's guidance gives us this confident assurance. It allows us to look back in our lives and to see Jesus. Can you look back in your life and see Jesus? On your day-to-day things, do you acknowledge Jesus in your prayers? Do you acknowledge the thankfulness that you have that God in all of your, do you acknowledge God in your prayers, that in everything that's going on in your life that he's in control? Do you acknowledge God before others, declaring before others that you have put your faith and trust in a Savior? Do you acknowledge him? Does your life reflect the character and the truth that is you are saved? In responding to the Holy Spirit, you must recognize you are not the same person you used to be. God has changed you. You are something entirely new. You have hope. Share that hope with somebody. So once again, as we continue on, we have this understanding that first off, we must put our trust solely in God. In order to respond to the Holy Spirit, first we trust in God. We also have to be willing to be taught by God. We must look back and thank God for the things that he has done, he is doing, and will continue to do in our lives. And lastly, as we go to close, we read in verse 6 again, it says, in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So when these three conditions are met, when first we trust in the Lord, when we're being taught by the Holy Spirit, when we are thankful to God for what he is doing in our lives, when those three things are met, it says here that he will make straight our paths. Now this idea of making straight can be translated direct, or more precisely, that he will surely make straight your paths. It implies an ending to a path that is pleasant, that is prosperous, that is good. And not necessarily for your good, but for the good of the kingdom. You think of the story in Genesis where you have Joseph who's sold into slavery. Joseph sold into slavery by his brothers and then imprisoned falsely. Both those negatives are far outweighed by the fact that he was able to rise and become second in the land of Egypt. And when his family came seeking help, he was there for them. And he responds to them like this. He says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." You might be going through a difficult time right now that seems as though it is evil, it is bad. But whatever God is working in your life, it is being worked for good. Romans 8:28 tells us the same thing, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, from my experience, this guidance, this direction is not always easy to see, not always easy to feel. I graduated from college a Christian ministry degree. I wanted to become a pastor. That's what I was desiring. I spent about a year and a half looking for a job. I couldn't find anywhere. No one would hire me. I understand why now, but no. No one would hire me. That wasn't the right place for me. I applied a bunch of places until I found a church that was looking for a youth pastor. And I worked there for almost 5 years. I loved those kids. I loved that church. But my wife and I were going to have a family of our own, and she wanted to move back to this area to be close to her family. And so I walked away from that church, and I waited another year and a half looking, figuring out, God, where are you leading me? Where are you taking me? Where am I going? And it's so often in life, you might relate to this, that it feels like life is you're driving in a car, and you feel like the road that you're on is full of twists and turns and ups and downs, and you're constantly changing lanes and swerving to go, trying to figure out where God's taking you. The beautiful part is, in life, when you look in the rearview mirror, when you look back, that road is straight as an arrow. You can see that God was leading you from point to point to point. What you thought were swerves were God's direction. He was taking you exactly where he wants you to go, leading you exactly where you are right now. You aren't here by accident. God has a plan for your life. Responding to the Holy Spirit recognizes that the path that God is leading you on, the path that you are on right now, is exactly where he wants you to be. So oftentimes we get faint on that path. We feel tired. We get weary. But you're not alone. The path that you are on, God has equipped you specifically. He has placed other believers who are around you to complement your gifts so we can work together as the body of Christ. Romans 8:14 sums it up well here. It says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." Now, this passage is both disheartening and encouraging. It says, "For all who are being led," would imply that there are those who are believers who are not being led. Is that you this morning? Are you sitting in the pew not being led by the Holy Spirit? Have you not placed your trust in God, continually living through faith in God? Are you not being taught by the Spirit? Is that where you are right now? Are you not thankful to God for everything that he has done for you? I want to encourage you this morning. That's the goal. My desire is to encourage you that Jesus is alive and active in our world. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. You are a child of God. Be led by the Spirit of God. Be open to hearing what he has for your life. 2 Peter 3:18 says it this way, "To grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." I want to encourage you to grow in his grace. Trust in the Lord. Be taught by the Spirit. Be thankful for what God has done and is doing in your life, and he will make straight your path.